field. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. Flare hearts up, this is our hearts with a San Diego seal.
Hello, thanks for listening to Seal City SD, Laxtown, USA. I'm Nick McCann, and I'm joined by Seals Jaga.
Wow, can you feel the playoff excitement tonight?
It's in the air. I can feel it. We're also joined by Andy Keats.
Yeah.
Guys, this is exciting.
This is a playoff. It's raining excitement right now outside.
Yeah. Yes. A lot of people are over at the Padre game, whatever. We're at the Seals playoff game against Calgary Roughnecks.
I cannot wait until the day after the Paddock start against DeGrom. We drop a Seals podcast. I can't wait to see the tears from Menzies and all the other
just
haters.
Menzie. Really just Menzie. Yeah. I'd be happy with the tears from him.
Yeah.
I think Paddock's going to have a no-hitter tonight because we're doing this.
Yeah. I mean, we're here on a Monday, which is weird to start with, where the team got preempted by Disney on Ice this weekend, which, of course, is one of the biggest draws for the sports arena. A very pleasing time for all parents that are out there.
But good news in two ways. One is that the sports arena is empty this weekend, by all accounts. At least by all accounts, I mean, I looked at the schedule and there's nothing on it. And so if we were to win this game, we could play the next round of the playoffs where they belong on a Saturday evening.
Which is premium. That's premium.
That's premium. Yeah. I guess this is one thing to say. Despite this being a playoff game, on a Monday evening without much opportunity to promote, I'm expecting that the crowd's not going to be quite that good tonight.
I'm expecting bad.
Bad even.
It was very convenient for me since I work in Point Loma, so I'm pleased with this.
Fridays are inconvenient for me, so actually this getting off for this was considerably easier than Friday evenings.
So are the Seals favored in this matchup?
I don't know. That's a good question. Did you check the top box lacrosse websites to see what the predictions were?
I didn't. I'll do that next time one of you guys are talking. I'll take a look. But by seeding, we are. So we should set the stage here for anybody who's not been paying attention. The Seals, by virtue of a very strong midseason run, were one home field advantage or won a home playoff game early on. But after Austin Stotts was hurt, they went on a 3-game losing streak, lost the opportunity to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. But the Colorado Mammoth defeated the hated Saskatchewan Rush.
Possibly and loved, we're not sure.
Yes, right, possibly won. So that was that 1-4 matchup in the West went to the 4. And so in here in our 2-3 matchup, if we were able to hold serve here at home, we would play Colorado at home next weekend.
And it's worth pointing out that we swept the series against the Colorado Mammoth this year.
3-0, including once without Austin Stotts.
Which is huge, our only post-Stotts victory. If there's one thing we know about San Diego sports, though, it's to not look past this game and start planning for the future. I think that's a critical point. And by the time this comes out, everyone's going to know what happened anyways. But it is, I mean, like Nick, when you've been podcasting for a while, like how many playoff games have you podcasted about, like that we've had here to podcast about? We could have done a soccer's podcast last week, I suppose, but I don't have anything. I have no experience with dealing with a one and out playoff.
I feel like we did a podcast about one of those Philip Rivers playoff games where they lost, the one where they lost to the Bengals or the Broncos, that one team that was going nowhere. But yeah, it's weird. I don't know how to do this exactly.
How to feel?
Yeah, like a single game elimination contest just doesn't process for me.
No, I don't know what to do. I mean, I have terrible memories of one game playoffs in this city. I mean, you were talking about, I mean, you guys podcast about the Chargers, which of course is a boring loser sport that no one cares about. But
I have regrets.
Yeah, as you should. A bit of like game 163, of course, is legendary in San Diego against Colorado, which is incredibly traumatic for all of us. And that's about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, what will be the holiday touched home plate or not, you know, moment? Will we have that tonight?
God,
we're writing history.
Yeah.
I think Austin Stotts' knee injury would be a potential what-if scenario if things don't go well.
I mean, for sure, because before that, well, even with Austin Stotts, they probably would have gone on that slide, is my guess. I mean, they played two really tough teams, and if there's one thing, I was the only one out of the Seal City team, I think, last week to go to Buffalo.
Yes.
The game against Buffalo, which was awful. It was an awful game. The Seals were overmatched in every respect. Their goal, Sigliano got benched in about the middle of the third quarter. Buffalo's offense is just incredibly dynamic, and it's something we've talked about before. I think related to Georgia, it's like you're watching a different league.
Yeah,
it's like minor leagues against major leagues. It almost seems like, and this was even the case with the New England game, who's really like a second tier Eastern Division team, where it's they're good. They're different.
Yeah, the ball moves much faster. There's much less dodging, and there's much more ball movement, creates much more open shots.
What are some kind of ways a coach can work around losing a player like that? If you have a dominant player who goes down, are there cheats that he can kind of smoke and mirrors, do some things? I mean, is it just basically you're just trying to keep your head above water and get through it?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we've seen is quite a testament to just how good Austin Stotts is and how much he commands from defense. I mean, like most things in this sport, like think about it like basketball. Losing the best player on the floor changes everything you do and puts everybody in a position that they're slightly less comfortable in.
So, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like a lot of the strategy on offense is creating shooting lanes for your players, right? And so you're setting picks and you're trying to create a clear shooting lane into the goal. And so Austin Stotts is basically a magnet, right, where he would pull in defenders. And if two guys are on the right side against Austin Stotts, that means there's one less person clogging lanes on the left side, which opens up opportunities, right?
Yeah, it's cutting lanes and a lot of opportunities for picks, cuts, and you know, draw and dump opportunities. Basically, every element of creating a shot is affected by not having the best player on the floor out there.
And, yeah.
You know,
I mean, in a lot of ways, like, the Seals were it was almost like a 4-on-3 offense because two guys would be stuck on Stotts. And I guess I wasn't paying enough attention at the time. But, like, my guess is that you would want to use Stotts as somewhat of a decoy. And there were periods where Stotts didn't score or didn't put points up, but he was still a valuable part of the offense.
That's the part that's most revealing, I think, is that the early season stretch he had where he was one of the most dominant players in the league had come to an end by the end. He was down to a couple goals a game from, you know, 4 or 5 goals a game. But it's clear now how much he was doing that affected everything else on the offensive end during that period, I think.
And so did you watch the game against Colorado? I mean, if we want to look at like a case study, they did win one game post Stotts, and that was against Colorado, who's now, of course, a second-round playoff team.
Yeah.
Did you notice anything different in that game? Because we talked offline about just the frustration of watching the offense sometimes.
The one thing I would say about that game is they scored a number of goals in transition, which doesn't really speak to what happened without him. I think they scored at least one goal shorthanded in that game, and then they scored man-up goals. So I wish I had the stats here to fact check those statements, but my sense was that they weren't scoring a lot of goals in even up offensive sets.
And to be honest, that was probably the case with Buffalo, because they did score, they scored one shorthanded goal, they had power play, plenty of power play opportunities, and they did reasonably well on power play.
Yeah.
So like, and then they had a lot of transition opportunities, but they just didn't make them. Either the keeper was super good, or they would hit the crossbar and just be a little offline.
The one thing I'll say going into this game that is interesting to look into tonight is there was a period right after the Stotts injury where they tried to incorporate Connor Kelly and Connor Fields, two rookies who are transitioning from the field game. We talked about that with Coach Merrill on the show. And then there was a period after that, almost like two distinct post-Stotts periods, where they said, okay, we're heading into the playoffs. This isn't the time to develop players for the future. This is the time to figure out how to win right now. And they started, Connor Fields became inactive in recent games. They signed another veteran in Joe Walters, who's a NCAA great veteran player. I think he has 10-plus years experience in the NLL. And they started much more purposefully building the offense around the veterans we know, Garrett Billings, Dan Dawson, Kyle Buchanan. And so I would expect that it's what we're going to see more of tonight, and we'll see how much those, you know, 30-plus guys are able to carry the offense.
What do you think the Calgary, from what we've seen of Calgary, this is the third game they've played, I think, in this building, right? Or did we play three?
Or let's see. We lost one. That was a terrible loss twice. Early
that was
in the season.
Dog shit loss, yeah.
I mean, what do you think we're going to see from them just exploiting the absence of Stotts, that basically overkill with Dane Doby?
Yeah, so what's so I think I should check on his name. There's Dane Doby, and then there's the other forward they have.
I think
great.
You had the name right. It's
Curtis Dixon. Curtis Dixon. Yeah. He's a really, really good player, so I think we'll see a lot from them. Speaking of which, I should say, while we were talking here, I pulled up the Inside Lacrosse predictions. Six people picking games, all six pick Calgary.
Okay.
East Coast bike.
It is.
Yeah. Actually,
it is.
North bias.
North, yeah, the Canadian bias.
Yeah.
This is the first. The first season is almost.
This is why. This is why they're not in contention for the Tom Borelli Award for NLL top media, like our very own Andy Keats right here.
Yeah. Where do we direct people to vote on that? Just.
Yeah, I'm a little unclear on the process. We were talking about how
you only learned this existed because you were looking at Wikipedia.
It's on the Wikipedia. The yeah. There's no instructions, but I did see that they have awarded it to New Media Operations before. So.
All right. Well, so we kind of just devolved a little bit into game preview mode there.
And which is generally worthless for this podcast. Yeah.
By the time any person listens to this, the game will have been over. And so all it will be was indications about how wrong we were in one direction or another. But we should circle back to viewing this year in retrospect.
Yeah,
was this successful? Yeah.
What did we learn?
was this fun? Did we enjoy it?
Well, let's start out where we started, right? Yeah. From our first episode taped at McCann Manor. Mm-hmm. And
that's right.
You know, we talked about what our experience with lacrosse was, right? I mean, you're a total novice. I'm essentially a total novice. And then Andy was the experienced lax guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we've all generally grown to be real fans, right? I mean, I think at that time we said, you know, we thought this was going to be a bit. Like, we're not really sure. Maybe it's a bit still. Like,
well, you,
but I think at this point, it's not a bit. I think we're real fans.
I find it very. I think I'm gonna, when it comes back next year, I'm gonna be very excited to go see my Seals. I think that's. I'm looking forward to like having a break from them and then just being like really needing them back. Especially if it lines up really well with the Padres' hot
off
stove.
Season. Yeah, yeah.
I found it to be a real release. Like I could just be stressed out about what the Padres are doing and then go to the Seals and kind of check out from it. I thought that was helpful. You know, it was useful. So.
Yeah, I'm all in. I'm all the way back. And it actually like really ended up as being a bridge for me back into the sport that I spent most of my childhood focused on that I had departed from. And now I'm paying closer attention to NCAA lacrosse this year. I'm checking back into the college team I played for and seeing how they're doing. And, I care about high school lacrosse again. Like I am very much back, and it's mostly because I decided to follow this team.
I think I've adopted the sport quite a bit. Like I went to the La Costa Canyon Torrey Pines lacrosse game. I would have never gone to that. I also checked in on my college's Division III performance, which I believe is better than your college's Division III performance.
Yeah, we dropped a rough one, but we're going to make the tournament.
I throw a ball around my cul-de-sac, and now the neighboring kids all bought fiddlesticks so that they could play catch with me.
Yeah,
that's the goal of the team probably in some ways, right? Is to grow. That was what we talked about with Steve Govett. Was a lot of it's growing the sport to people that weren't exposed to it before, and I think that's been a general success. And like we've talked to some of our listeners, miserable SD fan is one. He's been to almost every game.
Yeah.
And he had no interest and no experience with lacrosse. And I think he'd watched the product and brought his wife and that they genuinely enjoy it. I brought my wife for the first time last week to a terrible Buffalo game. And she loved it. We brought our friends and their daughters with us, and they all loved it also.
Yeah. And even to the extent to which, like, it seems like the amount of attention from our listeners cooled off after the Padres signed Machado, and then to an even greater extent after the Padres season started, that's fine. Like, if this just fills a hole in the sports schedule, great. I mean, it's indoor lacrosse. What else did you expect? No one was ever under the impression that this was replacing anything of major significance.
Well, Steve Hartman and Nick Canepa made the point
a while ago that was like, you know, the Seals seem very comfortable with being that. The overall tone of the organization is like, we know what we are, and we're fine with just growing our community, you know, whatever that is, you know.
Like, yeah, I mean, seem to be when we had Govett on the show, I like sort of tried to speak in euphemism while asking a question around where they were, and he was like, "It's fine. We're a minor league team. I get it. Like, you don't need to apologize to me about it. I'm not clueless." So I think that's great.
I mean, one of the best things about it for me is it gives me a whole other group of other fan bases to say mean things to. And so I was wondering if we talked a little bit about this before, but like, who do we hate the most of the teams that have come into our lives? Like these Roughnecks, I hate Dane Doby a lot.
With a passion.
Yeah, like, it's ugly. I have ugly thoughts about him. But the who else? I mean, we have some, I feel like we have a problem with Vancouver. I don't like them.
See, I don't hate Vancouver. I mean, they're fine. Maybe because they were bad this year, I just didn't care about them. There was that Beers guy.
Right.
Who seemed like a total dickhead. But I don't know. I didn't worry about them. For me, it's Calgary.
Calgary's the rival. Yeah,
by far.
I feel like we might have a developing thing with Colorado.
Depending on how tonight goes,
yeah.
I think that could go a long way towards that. And, you know, we really tried to have a rivalry with Saskatchewan, but
they're too nice.
They're too nice. How's one Canadian group so awful and one is so nice? It's I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's something natural about when you have a predominantly Canadian league, predominantly Canadian fan base, teams, players, I think there's a natural rivalry to two of the teams on the West that are from the U.S. So I think Denver makes some sense just in terms of proximity and the fact that Govett came from there. But there haven't been any games that lend that at all. Whereas Doby has been such a execrable piece of, you know, garbage that I think the team doesn't like him. I get the sense that the team doesn't like him.
I gathered that at Media Day.
Yeah.
Not a popular player.
I mean, it was really scrappy the last time they played him. It seemed like a lot of near fights. Mm-hmm. And
he is also involved in, like, some really controversial, like, replays early on. Like, he's just a hateable figure all around.
Have you ever looked at his face? I cut and pasted it for
GIF today. And it's really awful.
I hate his face very much.
He doesn't look like an athlete, but he...
So the biggest barrier I had to...
He looks kind of like Seth Rogen with a helmet on.
The biggest barrier I had to selling the sport was I brought a friend, and the first game we went to was a Calgary game, and I was like, that's the best player on the team. And he was like, that short, fat guy is good at this game? Then this must not be a very impressive sport. So look what you've done, Dane Doby. You've actually made it... You've been bad for the sport of lacrosse.
I feel like he would be asked to guard me on a like a basketball court.
Yeah,
yeah. Like look for someone who looks like you. Like,
yeah, we're gonna be next to each other a lot.
The awkward 5 seconds where they're lined up outside the 3-point line.
Right.
And you're trying to figure out who looks worst.
And he's calling fouls a lot.
You always know where you stand when you're like, oh, that's how you guys see me. You see me like him. Like that guy.
He calls not giving him a landing area when he takes a three.
He's always like, I got a mismatch. And you're like, okay, buddy. Yeah, athletics. So what do you think, like, the Seals going into next year, what do you think they could do differently or better about for the fans? Is there anything you would change about their approach? I think
it's a slow process. Like, you and me went we watched, like, the game introductions, right? And mm-hmm. and we talked with a nice lady that was there who said the team came out to, I think, Cabrillo Elementary in Point Loma and brought the players, and all of the kids had come out to that game, and I think had come out to previous games. And she was like, you know, I'm just hooked on it now. And I think it's a slow process where they're going to slowly keep doing these community events, and there'll be, you know, some conversion rate from that. And it's just going to be a slow build. Those Cabrillo Elementary kids are going to come back next year, and they're going to go to some other school, and then those kids are going to come. I think, like, on the business side, it's going to take, I don't know, what do you, like, 3 years maybe to really get a real velocity to what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of this stuff will be in terms of getting on TV, getting an actual audience on TV, getting some level of familiarity with the radio shows and all those sorts of promo and extension. I think that probably builds on itself a little bit year by year. I remember getting a sense from the team that they were felt really handicapped by the strike at the beginning of the year, that they had a clear plan for doing these sorts of outreach events and how that would all build up into the season.
Right. And then also like the number of weeks that they would have of games in a row, because they had a really brutal stretch in December, I think, where they had like three away games in a row. They totally lost the momentum from that opening night, and it was hard to pick it back up. And then, you know, it was also a lot of unplanned for competition, because I'm sure when they did the business planning, they didn't count on the Sockers becoming relevant all of a sudden.
Yeah, sure.
They didn't count on the Padres. I mean, let's be honest, the Padres were pretty irrelevant until they signed Manny Machado this year. Yeah. Like, it's a totally different story if you project that out as the realistic outcomes for the Sockers and Padres before this. And I think that they've done an admirable job given the difficulty they've been faced with.
Yeah, if they had their first game right after Thanksgiving, and then they had the plan was to have like a month before the first game that we actually went to. Mm-hmm. I think that was the one that we. If they had that whole month as a build up for the into their second game, I mean,
and then finish up like right when baseball starts, because that would have been the original plan. That would have been great.
Yeah,
but I think you go into year two, you've got clips, you've got media productions that they've put together that they can show people and that they can sell people. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably a little bit easier. They have some numbers and data that they can use. I'm sure all that stuff makes it a little bit easier going into year two.
Sure.
You know.
I assume there's going to be like some camps this summer for kids.
Yes, I saw the camps.
What's the deal with that? There's...
It looks like a camp for kids. I don't know. I was thinking of sending my daughter to it. Like, she actually... We talked about like how personally like it's made lacrosse seem more attractive as a sport. The only thing I've ever got my 5-year-old daughter to do is throw with fiddlesticks. Like, she thinks it's fun. She gets to fling it at me. And
I saw that there's a San Diego Box Lacrosse Association based out of the Point Loma YMCA.
Are we gonna play?
Well, I was looking into whether they have any sort of men's leagues. If they did, I will be playing.
You know, I was actually thinking about this. What if the Seals somehow sponsored some kind of adult box lacrosse?
That'd be great.
League. I would sign up. I'd buy the gear. I would go do it.
The City Heights YMCA has a soccer box field. There's nothing that's needed besides goals.
I mean, is it really that
goals.
Different from a? I mean, there's tons of arena soccer.
Yeah, no. If you have an arena soccer field, all you need is a goal. Yeah, it's fine.
All right, well, I don't want to go to City Heights. Let's get a Magdalena Ecky Antonita's League. I think it'd be great.
City Heights,
for all
YMCA
of us.
Is a great place. City Heights is a great neighborhood. not gonna co-sign your elitism.
Well, what I mean, should we head into the game? Like, what else do we got?
Do we want to do a little debrief on the state of San Diego sports?
I like that idea.
Yeah,
sure.
All right, let's do it real quick. We have a guest.
We have a guest.
A speaker who is well suited for this topic.
Would you be referring to me? Introduce yourself. Yeah. Hi, guys. My name is DK Nemo, and I like to talk about all kinds of sports in San Diego, but I'm strongest in soccer.
Yeah.
Well, so where are we at? I mean, we talked about it. Like, if we were really to go through San Diego sports, right, it's arguable they're at a peak level right now. In some ways. I mean, obviously we lost the Chargers, but like the Padres are more popular than they've been in a decade. The Sockers are more popular than they've been in a decade, probably, at least.
Perhaps more.
Yeah. The Seals have come, out of nowhere, and they're drawing great crowds, and they're in the playoffs, and they're in their expansion season, which is a big deal. I think it's pretty good.
It is, yeah. I think
if you ask Nick Canepa, it's not good.
Well,
but,
yeah. Nothing will replace the Chargers.
But I also don't ask Nick Canepa for anything, ever.
I guess the biggest thing that's been a loss is the loss of the Mighty 1090. That would be, to me, that feels almost like losing the Chargers, even more personal.
I think it's worse.
It is worse. I think it is.
Like I'm not even being, I'm not exaggerating it. Like, it's affected my life much more than the Chargers leaving.
Well, I felt like when the Chargers left, they kind of replaced the Chargers as a team, it seemed like, and people were upset at them for talking Chargers. Remember that whole year where it was like, you guys are talking too much Chargers, or I don't know if you guys should even be talking NFL at all. They were so in limbo for about a year there.
Yeah, and then it would be like, the research shows that people are still wanting Chargers content for here.
Yeah.
Like, I do think it's been interesting media-wise that the Seals and the Sockers, I think, have gotten more of a foothold than you would have thought into traditional media. Part of that is, like, involving Fox 5. Like, I think having Tabitha Lipkin doing sideline has helped expose the sport to more people. And then the good work that Craig Ellison was doing with the Sockers and that the Seals are doing, I mean, really, it was a masterstroke, right, to bring Steve Woods and John Schaefer, the 1360 host, into the Seals family, because that gets them exposure onto those radio shows, right? Yeah. And so I think it's been really impressive that these quote unquote minor sports are actually being talked about, even the small level that they are on radio.
I mean I think there's a sort of like reality setting that's like, okay, if this is what the city is now, that the Chargers are gone, then let's be realistic about what type of city that makes it. And then, you know, maybe it's unavoidable that first year is spent with a bunch of people fighting about how much UT coverage should be going to the Chargers versus not. But now it's like, okay, now that's happened. That whole thing has taken place where we've got one major league sport. And now it's not embarrassing to like minor league sports, and it's not embarrassing to like the Aztecs. Like that's what's left.
It's pretty embarrassing.
It may not be ideal, but what I think I've sort of come to realize most potently, I suppose, over these last few months, not so much just the San Diego sports scene, but really it's the community of people who really have dedicated themselves to sports in San Diego. You know, I've seen a lot more fan meetups, and maybe just because I've obviously been paying more attention to other sports outside of my own personal bubble, I've been able to tap into what I feel is a very palpable and realistic and powerful community here of people who give quite a few shits about San Diego and are prepared to sort of express that in support of whatever different sport, whether it's the Sockers, whether it's the Seals. Obviously, the Padres are sort of taking a new level of prominence, but that's probably been the most eye-opening component of these last few months for me.
I mean, some of it's just an adjustment, right? And it was, like you said, it makes sense that there's going to be some kind of adjustment period to kind of normalize where we're at. But I think that you're right that we have kind of, I don't know if we're there yet, but like we've started to really normalize where you just realize this is what we've got, right? We can talk about Los Angeles stuff, but we've got these San Diego options here, and let's make a go of it. And I think the Seals, honestly, and really having Elston for the Sockers both, but John Schaefer, Steve Woods, Craig Ellison, they're all involved in old media. And so it was like a really good idea to bring those guys into the fold to kind of have crossover access to those channels.
I mean, I think, so one thing you hear a lot about is like, oh, well, San Diego's the seventh largest city in the country. How can we be forced to make do with just these insignificant things? And like, city that's right after us in population, in terms of not metro areas, but your municipal jurisdiction, is San Antonio.
Right.
And like, would you ever, if you heard somebody from San Antonio scoffing at the idea that they should pay attention to their AAA team because it's beneath them, would you think that was at all valid? You'd be like, who do you think you are? You're San Antonio.
Yeah.
And so like, there, it's part of it's like coming
Houston,
to grips.
You're Houston's little brother, or Dallas's little brother.
Right. You know? And it's like, part of it's coming to grips with what San Diego is as a major destination, which is to say, it isn't one.
Well, it's a destination. It's just not a sports destination.
Or a major metro area.
I mean,
sorry, like,
this is like outside
media,
of the Seals.
As
like,
a media member, let me just be, like, I'm speaking about something that speaks to my own relevance. And I have to be real about that. Like, everybody in San Diego is here and at a smaller place than they might otherwise be.
Well, you know, I think so much of San Diego, we spend so much time like being upset at owners. And I think the Machado signing really changed that for me. And I'm sure you, like, it made me hate them less, you know? And compounded with just having Joe Tsai in the mix and just being interested in like what that could be or whatever he's doing, I think that's changed a lot of it for me. Like, I don't have this vitriol towards these people that I can't control anymore because they are stepping up, it seems like.
So we opened up this podcast where I think we devoted like 20 minutes at the end of it to talking about Joe Tsai and what he meant, you know, for the future of sports here. Do you feel any differently now that we've had a season of the Joe Tsai experience? Like, it's pretty clear he's not going to bring the Nets here. I actually think Steve Govett went on Ben and Woods and explicitly said there's zero chance that the Nets are moving here.
Yeah.
So are we good? Like, is he still the savior, or are we happy with him? What he's, you know, being willing to absorb losses on the Seals to provide us this box lacrosse team? Or, like, do we still think he's, you know, the key to the future for San Diego sports?
I if he doesn't do anything else, this is fine. Like, I don't want to be like, you know.
If he keeps this team operating, like, yeah, because yeah. I think we've talked about it. Like, the key to NLL franchises succeeding is having either barely eking out a break even or having someone that's willing to absorb the losses to achieve the franchise value increasing. Right. But you need cash. You need cash and cash flow for that. Is this the? I think he's the guy. I think he'll keep this alive.
Well, so I think the one thing to watch for is not whether the Nets come, but whether he's a player in building a replacement for the sports arena, in one form or fashion. The Gulls ownership has expressed a clear interest in that. The city has expressed a clear interest in helping that happen. There's an opportunity not just here at Sports Arena site today, but also at the SDSU West site in Mission Valley potentially. And so whether he can play a role in that, I think is probably like his next major contribution to San Diego sports beyond this. But like, short of that, the way I've come to think of Joe Tsai is like, owning a sports team, like, there aren't that many sports teams that you can own in any league. And so if you're a guy who wants to do that, once all the NBA teams are bought up, and all the NHL teams are bought up, and all the NFL teams are bought up, like, what else do you do? And so I think he kind of was just like, well, that's the thing I want to do, and I've got a little business entity that I've spun off and created to do it with a WNBA team and an NBA team. And so he's added this one to it, and it's like basically the same thing Stan Kroenke's done. And so I don't know that he would subsidize losses forever, but it seems like he is a guy who is interested in owning this team or teams in general in the same way that Jay Leno is interested in owning old Rolls Royces.
Yeah, and for me, I think that's relevant enough for the time being. But to your point, Andy, I'm very curious to see, like you said, if he's not prepared to subsidize losses forever, you know, what is that point up until he's willing to continue doing that? Is it the creation of a new arena that is now obviously generating enough revenue to sort of break even? Because if that's the point, then hey, I mean, job well done.
I mean, if we're being honest, the arena's like one of the biggest needs for the city, I think, right? I mean, arenas are generally positive investments. They're not money losers like dumb football stadiums. Like, there's a reason to build an arena here. Like, we've all walked around. Like, it's not only old, it smells musty in there. Like, when you guys walk into the bowl tonight, just take a sniff. It doesn't smell good in there. Like, it's fine. The seats are fine. The lights are fine. The sound is really awful. I can't understand anything Woods says. And it's, like, no fault of Woods. But, like, it's crappy in there. And it smells.
Yeah.
It smells like my grandma's house. Like, it's not a. It's just not. I'm not going to say it's not pleasant, but it's not great.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm a decent fan of your grandma's house. It's fine.
You know, if the NBA never comes here, that's fine. But having it in the back of my mind that Joe might be able to do it is very useful to me. Like, I feel like we're getting the Nets, guys. That's what's happening.
I don't know. I kind of think the whole thing with the Seals is us coming to the realization that we're okay if we don't get another NBA team or an NHL team. Like, I know that's the big thing that Joe Chargers fan is looking for, another major sports team. But, like, newsflash, like, Steve Govett made it pretty explicitly clear, right, that we're not getting a new team here. Like, even with a new facility, the market requirements just aren't met in San Diego.
Yeah.
Like, there are bigger teams in LA that already own this market that those owners are not going to relinquish this market to. And so, like, why don't we the whole thing with the Seals is like, maybe we can just be happy with what we've got. You know, that's kind of one of the things you get when you go from being a child to being a grown up, right? Is being starting to learn how to be okay with yourself. Yeah. Right? You look at your flaws and you accept them and you learn how to manage them and you move on. Like, it's a valuable skill that people learn at some point in their life. And San Diego is a city I feel like is at that point where they're finishing college up and they're trying to figure out who they are, and you know, they don't need to be the cool kid, right? They don't need to be the fraternity guy. They can just be a guy that likes to watch Game of Thrones and drink craft beer on occasion, right?
We just got a job in a mailroom in a good company, and we're just grinding.
It's got a good benefits package and some room for growth. Like,
yeah,
you're making rent. You're going out every once in a while. It's fine,
right?
It's fine. Chill out.
Yeah, you can go.
If cocaine shows up, you might touch it.
No, I think there is a lot to that, and like, I actually had this realization when I was going to the soccer's game I went to, where I was just like, yeah, this is a perfectly sensible fit thing for me to be doing. I'm a guy who likes sports in a city that has lost some sports teams. And the choices are, like, stop liking sports or go see these things.
Right.
And I still want to go to see sports. So, like,
yeah,
move on. It's fine.
I don't need to go to a comic book movie like a child. Like, it's fine to go to the sports thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing that's fine. Like, it doesn't cost a lot. It's a fun time for a family or a person or whatever. Like, it's fine. That's the whole thing with life, right? You just figure out what's fine and you keep doing it. You're not, like, not everyone's going to be Bill Gates.
Yeah, quit being a child.
Yeah.
Quit being a child. Stop thinking, you're not destined for greatness. Your parents told you that because they love you. and that's fine. But then when you turn 25, you realize that that's not what's happening for you.
Yeah, like, would I like to be Bill Gates? Sure, it sounds great.
Wouldn't say no.
Would I like to have an NBA, an NHL, an NFL team here? Sure, it would be great. But sometimes you come to the realization that, you know, I'm going to be I'm a staff accountant, and it's fine.
Yeah, my bills are being paid.
Yeah.
I mean, if this is the end game for the Seals, what do you think it's going to feel like? Are we going to walk back to our cars and just be like, we did the work this year? This is, do you feel accomplished that we've
given a voice? Comic book movies, you know, end game. I like that segment.
Yeah, that's what's doing. Yeah.
I didn't watch it.
It's trending right now.
I don't watch comic book movies.
I have a no cape policy.
I'm not a child.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I know it's an unpopular opinion, but you know, I got a lot of entertainment out of this year. You know, the season's long enough. So this is a few things that are totally unrelated to the quality of the product. But, like, it's a long enough season that I get, what is it, 17 weeks of entertainment? Like that's great. It took me through December to April. Like,
yeah.
I had something to sit in my hot tub and watch. It was fine.
I got the BR Live app. Shit's working out,
yeah,
man.
You know, that was the best $7 a month I ever spent on that.
Hey.
Looks like we got a special guest.
We got a special guest. It's Darren Smith from the internet.
Hey. Hey, podcast colleague.
Of streaming fame.
Yeah.
Good to see you guys. I was ready to call you out as liars because you said you were here at 5 o'clock. And I got here at 6 o'clock. And I was like, where are these clowns? Like, I don't see them anywhere. And then I found out that there's this back room where you guys are podcasting from. So my apologies for rushing to judgment. I should not have done that.
So is this your first Seals game?
This is it. Yeah, this is my first.
Big expectations? You ready for it?
I've been told that Steven Woods is the star of the show.
He is. Yeah.
I've been told that he operates on a decibel level that is max velocity
it's almost on. We were just talking about it. It's almost unintelligible, to be honest. But it's no fault of Woods. Like, we were talking about it, you know, the decrepit sports arena.
Yes.
It smells.
Yeah.
It's musty.
And it's ours.
And yeah, it's fine. You just missed we had a long discussion on life, on how at some point as an adult, you kind of realize you're fine. You look past your flaws and you accept them, and you move on, right? You accept and you live, and you're happy with what you've got. You're not Bill Gates, but you're a staff accountant with a good benefits package at work, right? And to us, that's what the SEALs are, right? Yeah. San Diego's fine. We don't have a football team, and we don't have a basketball team, and we don't have a hockey team, and we're never going to get those major sports possibly. Maybe it's time to just accept what we've got.
Sure. And accept what you are, accept what you're not, right? There comes a point in time where myself, you start saying, maybe you're not going to be Dan Patrick, and that's okay. You know, maybe you're going to be a radio host in San Diego for 16 years or beyond, hopefully. I don't know. We'll see. Anybody hiring, feel free to hit me up. But that's good. Like, that's, you know, grass isn't always greener. Like, I've found that moment in my life, like that clarity of knowing what I am, but more importantly, knowing what I'm not. Do you guys always go this serious on this podcast? I feel like I'm on the therapist couch here.
We usually talk a lot of shit about a Canadian town that we've never been to. Then
who are we playing tonight, by the way?
We're taking down Calgary. That's what
all
we're
right, Calgary? Can't even pronounce it right. Yeah, so yeah, I'm with you 100%. I mean, that's, you know, you are what you are.
I mean, while we got you, like, we were talking a little about how the media, you know, went through a phase where it's like, do we care about the Chargers or should we not talk about them? And then people are angry all the time. So this year I've noticed that, you know, the quote-unquote minor sports, soccers and SEALs, are getting a lot more play in the local media. Is that, in your view, like a realization that this city is kind of normalizing what we are, coming to terms?
I think so. I mean, then we also had the other minor league team, which didn't make it.
Who's the other?
Oh, 1904 fleet, would be one, but the Fleet, yeah. So
we've got a lot of attention.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a couple of hits, but we've also had some high-profile misses, and we never even got 1904 out of the gate, right? Right, but the merchandise, the swag, was killer while it lasted. But, you know, then it's, you know, I think a little wait and see. You know, once you see what sort of traction some of these sports get, then you approach with a little bit of caution. I mean, again, this is my first SEALs game, so I can't sit and claim that, you know, this box lacrosse has totally captivated the city of San Diego. Hasn't been a big part of our show when we had a show. Maybe it should have been a little bit more. But,
well,
yeah, I mean,
you don't take calls.
Right. Well,
I would have called in.
Wait a minute, though. No, I've been told not to take phone calls. So, I mean, I think it's been cool. I mean, I was here for the soccer's playoff game against Tacoma a couple of weeks ago, and it wasn't the biggest crowd. I don't know what they called it, 4,000 or 5,000, something like that. But it was, you know, it was, DK, you're here. I mean, it was a noisy group.
It was fine.
Yeah,
right?
It was fine. Like, it was nothing to be embarrassed about. I think,
you
know, like, that's what it is.
It doesn't matter. Like, you don't need to fill the arena. It's not a status symbol, right? Like,
true.
Did you have a fun time?
I had a great time. And I will tell you, like, in all honesty, and I'm sort of expecting something like this later, and I say this, like, with 100% honesty, it was the most tension. The soccer's Tacoma game was the most tension I've felt at a San Diego sporting event in a long time. Like, I couldn't even tell you the last time there was that kind of tension in an elimination game. And somebody's going to go, whoa, hold on now. This is ridiculous. This is soccer's. This is a couple of thousand people. But the tension was real. It was real. And again, we'll see what it is. I've not been, but this is a playoff game. So we'll see if that sort of thing gets replicated. And like you said, like, you don't have to apologize for enjoying something that only a couple of thousand people like.
Yeah.
DK and I have learned that a long time ago. Like, we're soccer fans, so we've learned how to just say, hey, you guys don't like it, to hell with it. Like, we'll just, more for us. Like, we're going to enjoy it because that's what it's all about.
There's actually kind of an odd catch-22 about it where, like, these sports are sold on the non-sport element of it. But the crowd that's there are actually the biggest sports fans in town. The people who are like, well, I like sports more than anything else I could do with my time, so I'm going to go see the Soccers or I'm going to go see the SEALs.
Yeah, that's, like I said, to a very large degree, my favorite part about all this is that I don't do anything sporting related for the benefit of anyone not named DK, right? So I don't have any sort of impact on my life, my experience, whether or not, oh, the seat next to me is full, whether or not, you know, so-and-so is saying, oh, this crowd is a sell. Like, that means nothing to me. I enjoy going to sports. I enjoy going to San Diego-based sports because of where I live and because of who I am. And like I said, to sort of, I think, the grand point that we're all making here is that it doesn't matter what anyone thinks other than the individual themselves, right? It doesn't matter what anyone wants other than that individual themselves. As long as you're in that stadium and getting that utility that it is that you're looking for, then that qualifies as success for me, you know, whether or not you make the playoffs or not.
Yeah. And everyone's got their own thing, right? Like, I got a kid. I got a five-year-old. A lot of parenting I've learned is just trying to kill the clock, right? Like, just, I mean, Darren, I listened to your podcast today. I'm sure Marty wished she could kill the clock with her niece or nephew or whatever. That's a lot of it, right? You got time to kill. You want your kid to be acceptably happy. And so you find ways to kill the clock. And for me, I've found that the Sockers and the Seals have been affordable family options that are easy for me to do. That's the most important part. Easy for me to do and kill that clock while giving myself some benefit, right? Like that's part of coming to terms with it's fine, I think. Like, we should change the name of the podcast to Seals : It's Fine.
Yeah,
like,
I think that works.
Because that's what it is.
Or like San Diego Sports.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Just be happy with what we've got.
And just be honest. Like, just say this is what we are. You know, this is what we are and this is what we're not. Like we just said.
Do you get sick of like the Rube Goldbergian like machinations of how do we get an NBA team to be interested in San Diego? Like that's what we need to validate.
Oh, I thought that's what we were doing here. I thought we were sending a message to Joe Tsai that he should bring the Nets here.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought that isn't that part of the plan for going and supporting Seals Lacrosse? No?
I think it's happening. No.
Well, Nick Canepa certainly believes so.
Of course. I mean, but, you know, I mean, you bring up Canepa. I mean, you talk about at times a lack of awareness. You know, I remember somebody comparing San Diego to Portland, and he's like, Portland? I mean,
what's wrong with that comparison?
Should we compare ourselves to LA and San Francisco for the rest of our lives?
Because we're
or
not.
Or should we say, like, Portland's a really kick-ass place with its own unique identity, and Portland's fine.
They're happy with what they are.
They're fine with the Timbers.
I've
they're fine with the Blazers.
Happy they are with the Timbers.
Yeah.
Like, the people there are genuinely happy going to the games and rooting for their team, little team or whatever, minor league sports, right?
Yeah. I mean, and it's similar in market size. It's similar in that Portland's in the shadow of another major metropolitan city, which would be Seattle for us, Los Angeles. But, like, yeah, you can compare yourself all you want to LA and San Francisco for the rest of your life. Those aren't the right comparisons for us to be making. Like, we should – this is San Diego. This is unique. This is truly unique. This is one of the you know, whether it's our beer culture, whether it's our sports culture, whether it's our own style, like our border proximity – that our food culture, like all of that sort of stuff, is truly unique to us. And like, we're just wasting our time comparing ourselves to some of these other places that we're not in we're not competing with them. They're competing with each other.
And there's no value in it.
There's no value in that whatsoever, other than disillusionment. I mean, we're just disillusioning ourselves into thinking that, like you said, we're going to be the next market for an NFL team or be the next market for one of these other pro sports franchises. Like, why don't we just embrace what we have? And I think from there, good things will come.
Well, and there's a cost to that also. Like, we could expend a ton of energy debating it, right? And that there's a cost to that. I mean, we could be talking about something else or focusing our attention on something else. But there's actually real costs once a city and politicians start getting involved in trying to meet those demands that affect like normal people's lives. And if it's totally worthless, do we want the mayor working on that? Do we want city staff spending their time on that? It's not free. Like, nothing's free. And that's kind of the thing in life, right? Like, we're talking about. Like, you can waste a bunch of time trying to be something you're not, but you're not going to gain anything from it. And in all likelihood, you're going to be hurt by it. Like, that's one of the things of becoming a grown-up is accepting things as they are. Accepting yourself, I should say. And working with that. Working with what you got.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we can go pie in the sky. Deke and I met because we spent a lot of time talking about Major League Soccer, which was put on a platter for us in the city. And we still screwed that up. So for me, the rest of that conversation, all those other things, like, I don't know how you feel, but like, I've moved on with my life. Like, I learned a lot. I wasted a lot of my time, and I learned a lot about that process and about pandering politicians and wasting time. And I mean, gosh, what a tremendous waste of energy and money that was.
Yeah. A lot of my energy, I can tell you, was spent. And I don't know if I want to call it wasted, because I do feel as though I learned something on the back of that. I do feel as though I come out of that experience just a little bit more aware. And to your point of growing up and sort of learning from experience, I think there's absolutely no value in comparing San Diego to a lot of these other cities that have this, that, or the other. One thing that I do like to look at and say, okay, if we are going to be this at this moment in time, right, this kind of one team town, and et cetera, et cetera, okay, that's fine, right? That's a baseline. That's where we are today. What I do like to compare myself to, you know, DK myself, not so much my friends who are getting jobs or getting married or having kids or whatever, I like to compare myself to where I was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You know, DK today is a different person from DK 10 years ago. And my only hope, my aspiration, my ambition for San Diego is, as a sports town or whatever we happen to be, is that looking back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, we can say that in the future we're better as a city than maybe we were in the past, right? That's probably my biggest takeaway from a lot of what has gone on in the sports scene over these last few years here in town.
Fair. I mean, I think all that's very true. I mean, it's been a learning experience, but I'm stoked. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go in and watch some box lacrosse.
So I think you'll enjoy it.
I think so.
As a beginner, I think you'll enjoy it. It's fun. We said earlier I took my wife for the first time last week. The team got destroyed. They played the best team in the league, Buffalo, and it was not a competitive game, but it was entertaining for everyone. And honestly, I think it's one of the more entertaining sports products that you'll see.
Yeah, but you were on it from the get go. I remember when I was, though?
I thought you were
when it first was announced. You were one of the few voices that I remember saying, whoa, forget about this NFL stuff. We got box lacrosse coming to town.
Yeah, but that was a bit at the time.
Oh, it was?
I thought the
Seals... Is it still a bit?
We debated that. I mean, when the Seals announced, I thought they were going to be the San Diego Wild Cards and drawing like 700 people, 500 people to the game. I was like, this isn't going to work. Everyone that plays lacrosse lives in North County. They don't like driving down to the arena. Like, stick the team in Del Mar. It'd be a lot better. And they've surprised me at both the level of resources that they... I mean, how many failed franchises have we had in San Diego? Minor sports franchises.
We just had one this year. I mean, just to add it onto the pile.
Yeah, right. Present. I mean, that's a boring loser sport, so it's understandable. But, like... You know, we've had the Barracudas, the Wild Cards. I can go through the long list of them. Mm. The Surf Dogs, you know.
It's Surf Dogs.
I guess at the time I thought, this isn't going to work here. And it's shocked me that, you know, they've had the muscle, the money, the devotion, the effort to make something of it, you know.
Steven Woods, I give him all the credit.
Well, we mentioned what a masterstroke it was to bring on not only Woods, but it's John Schaefer on 1360, who's the play-by-play announcer. Like, that bought them time, basically, mm-hmm. on those shows.
Yeah, of course, because they're going to talk about it on those shows, because they're employed.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it was a quid pro quo, but, like...
No, but...
Maybe it is. I don't know.
Well, I don't think... Well, I'd be surprised if it was, but it was more the understanding from the people who run the Seals. I like, this is just a smart decision for us. Because there's no way these people aren't going to talk about their experiences, which is the best advertising that we could ask for without having to pay for it.
Right. I mean, right? They could have...
So, like, whatever they're making, and I don't know what they're making, but, like, that's all considered advertising dollars.
Right. I mean, they could have made Hacksaw the play-by-play announcer, right? And that would have bought them some exposure on LeeHacksawHamilton.com.
Still, like, could.
Still could. Still could, yeah.
Still time. I mean, there's always season two.
You know, I heard he had upwards of 1,500 hits on his latest 1090 post, so...
Wow, that's great.
Is that right? He's the one really about the blood on the hands? It was very dramatic.
Yeah, he's about equal to This Week in Padres Twitter, so that's good for him.
So, I mean, should we go in and watch this, or...
Yeah, why not?
We don't want to miss the lowriders.
We may snag one more brief beer here at Bay City Brewing. However, right. I think it's time.
Thanks for listening to Seal City SD. We'll be back after the game, right?
Yeah, we're gonna hopefully pleased.
Post, yeah, right?
Yeah, why not? Good. You got nothing to do, Darren, right?
My schedule's free.
Cool. All right, man. Peace.
Start. Calgary just throws it in, and Calgary escapes San Diego with a Western Division semifinal win, and they will host the finals at Colorado next Friday night.
just a really big win for Calgary and a really devastating loss for San Diego. It's been one of those seasons that has been special here in Pechanga. We've been fortunate enough to watch it, but just a heartbreaking loss for San Diego tonight.
All right, so they lost. That sucked.
It really sucked.
It was real garbage. Not only did they lose, they were ahead by 3 goals in the fourth quarter of the game. So a very reasonable person, such as me, for instance, might have started considering the extent to which they were going to win the game.
I'd already made extensive plans for Saturday. I'd planned out the dishes, the food, the drinks that would be served at the tailgate. Thought about how to get down here, what time.
We were even discussing the possibilities of a championship departure.
Yeah, travel plans. I was starting to look at miles and what flights were available out to Buffalo or Atlanta. You had considered what cities were acceptable to your family to go visit.
Atlanta, right. Specifically.
Georgia Swarm was obviously the optimal suggestion. And
very much acceptable.
Hey, and here we are, guys. We're off Midway Drive. Sad.
Discount Tires here.
Walgreens. Also
Walgreens. Suspense Plus Complete Auto Repair.
Now for
you know, to be honest, judging from the bar staff at this establishment, I'm going to go with it's a spillover from the local strip club. You guys would agree, I assume.
Accurate. Yeah. As far as I can tell.
There's actually, I'm actually staring at a burger mural with bare buttockses on the wall. So that's where we are. We are not at the championship of the NLL against Georgia.
It's a real bummer to follow the tonnage of the sun's out, buns out.
Mural. It's artistic, yes, but very depressing at the same time.
Well, for a lot of other NLL podcasts, this would be the end. But not for us, because I feel like this is a beginning. What are we going to do this summer, guys?
Well, I intend to take great interest in the ways they recreate this roster. We've talked a lot about the veteran versus rookie makeup of the team. And so I'm going to key in on that.
Andy, we discussed this during the game, though.
Yeah.
The core of the team and, like, the guys that we, when we watch the game, we're like, that guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Are Brody Merrill and Dan Dawson out there right now.
Yeah.
And they're 36, 37. They're old. Mm-hmm. They're getting old.
Yeah.
We need them to come back, right?
I think.
Hey, but not Billings. We don't need him to come back. I
mean, could they be player coaches? Like, is that
my expectation?
As long as there's emphasis on the player.
Yeah. My expectation on the going into next season is that I would be concerned about Brody Merrill. I think it could be very easy to imagine him retiring. He seems it would be like an easy decision for him. He's a transition player anyway. Yeah.
But he does have the pull of his brother being the coach.
Brother being the coach. Also, like, the guy, god damn, he's good. He is so goddamn good.
He seems like he's still got a lot left.
He's so goddamn good.
He's not done.
Like, he was so goddamn good tonight.
Like, right.
He was so good tonight. So he's out there. I don't think Dan Dawson's going to retire. I would be comfortable Dan Dawson playing again. I think Garrett Billings is the guy of all the veterans on the team who I would be content moving away from. It's him. He's had a lot of points, but I think a lot of his points were second assists, and I think you've got to kind of, as Coach Merrill has made the case on this show, I think you have to develop players at the same time that you win games, and I think you have to move through players like Garrett Billings to do that.
Well, look, this might be a little bit of a sclusy here, but
I've heard a few rumors that the Seals have something up their sleeve with some young players from one of our chief rivals. Like, I think I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to note that next year you've got Stotts coming back, who is obviously a first-round pick, number one overall.
Hopefully.
I mean, maybe Connor Fields, maybe. You're shaking your head.
Yeah, I can't say that I feel like the Connor Fields, Connor Kelly thing leads me entirely hopeful about last year based on what we saw this year.
But there might be some help coming, some young help coming from another team.
When is the actual amateur draft? It's
in June.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of my homework assignments is to look up how contracts actually work in the NLL. None of us have any idea.
I don't think we were expected to know that this year.
Yeah.
This is our first year.
We've had some harsh conversations over the last, like, I don't know, 3 hours about them. And then I think the realization was that it's a mystery.
Yeah, so, I mean, do you think the Seals have legs? Is this has been an overall positive experience for Flipside.
Well, I think all of us have talked, like, so I'm sad that we're looking at a 7-month break from box lacrosse. And I didn't think I would feel that way when we first started this.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a bummer. They should, for one, they should have won this game. They were ahead by 3 goals in the fourth quarter. They should have won the game. It's kind of feels like a bummer that they didn't. They had a lot of, I don't need to relive the fourth quarter of the game, but
it's fresh.
But it sucked, and it sucked.
Well, I had a blast this season, man. I just can't wait for them to come back. That's all I got. I mean, I think that it's going to just be so much fun. I feel like I'm going to just need it really bad and just going to be looking forward to it so much.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Think about next year. Like, there will be nothing new or interesting about the NFL. It'll just be part of life coming off of Thanksgiving. Be early Christmas era, you know.
You won't have to decide whether or not you should get fleet tickets.
Yeah, there will be no fleet. Won't be part of
things. That's just gone.
Yeah,
I think for all of our listeners there, though, we have one last goal on this podcast, right? And it is to get Joe Tsai on the podcast. Should we be instructing our listeners to tweet or to email the Seals to release Joe Tsai for us?
I mean,
can anyone think of a clever hashtag that we can be
pushing? Hashtag release Tsai. And I would appreciate it if you sent it at the Seals account as well as at the Joe Tsai account.
There's no chance Joe Tsai checks his account, right?
Yeah, no, well, no,
Steve Govett, send it to
none
S.
None of this is at all relevant.
Send it to S at S Govett, right?
Okay.
Yeah, well, we got to talk to him. I think San Diego needs to have a conversation with Joe Tsai.
It's desperate that we talk to him, I think. Yeah. It's very important.
Yeah.
We can just come out to a parking lot.
I just stare at this Burger's Buttockses up there. It's good.
Yeah.
There's, homeless people, and it's fine. It's fine here.
Everything's fine.
It's good.
Here it is in Midway.
Well, guys, it's been a fun season.
Yeah, it's been a fun season. We were on the precipice. We nearly won things this year. It nearly happened.
And you know what? Goddamn Colorado is going to win next week.
I know.
And they're going to go to the finals. And they're going to get destroyed by Buffalo.
I know.
And that could have been us getting destroyed by Buffalo.
Buffalo wins all. Yeah. Do you think Buffalo wins the whole thing?
From what I saw last week, I would pick Buffalo. But Georgia's definitely there. I didn't check the scores tonight to see if Georgia even won. But... Buffalo is like on another world than what we have right now. But look, we're an expansion team. We're building. Like Mike D said, we're building. Not rebuilding.
Building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this has been Seal City SD. Signing off.
Signing off.
Dive out.
Dive out. Go Seals.